This is the lecture for November 1997. I am beginning a series of 5 lectures on the use of the Psalms in prophecy. This area of the Scriptures is one of the most neglected in prophetic study today. But when the messages of the Psalms are understood in all their ramifications, it will be found that they have detailed teachings for us who live in this period called in the Holy Scriptures the time of the end. This series is called The Psalms in Prophecy, and this first lecture will be an introduction to the Book of Psalms. Let us first begin with an overview of the Book of Psalms that we find in the Holy Scriptures. We should realize that the 150 Psalms that we see in the Book of Psalms are not all the Psalms of the Holy Scripture. You will find Psalms beginning near the very beginning of the Scripture. You will find them throughout the Scripture in prophetic teachings. You will find them also at the beginning of the New Testament. And believe it or not, even in the book of Revelation, you have mentions of Psalms. And words that are to be put to music. That's what the word Psalm actually means. It means a message which comes from God that is given music as its background. You might say that the words with the music and the instrumental type of activity that takes place as this message goes forth is a type of a divine opera. It is a message of God, a very important message of God within a musical theme. And we do not have the musical notation that the ancients used to have. To understand just what type of instrumentalities that they used or what type of cadence or anything of that nature. We do not have that with us today, but we do have the words of the Psalms. And by the way, that's what is very necessary for us to be able to understand. The Book of Psalms are not intended just to be for entertainment. They are meant to give teachings, teachings of God within a divine framework, within a chronological framework of the Scripture. A framework which really is governed by the holiday seasons which God has given or gave to Moses and which we find even in the New Testament. And though we are as Christians today, mature Christians, it's not necessary for us to keep the Old Testament holy days in the way that the Mosaic dispensation did. Still at the same time, it is wise for us to be able to be aware of what those holy day systems or sequence of events actually happen to be, because there is a prophetic design to them. We can actually know prophetic teachings, chronological arranged teachings that God has placed within his divine plan here on this earth if we pay close attention to the holy day seasons that God has given to mankind. And I might add also that we look at the temple that was built in Jerusalem, and the various compartments of the temple, and the various individuals who performed in the temple. And this book of Psalms, by just looking at that, you can see that there were certain individuals given responsibility for singing these psalms at a particular sequence, at a particular time, for a particular reason, and I might say for a particular message. And the message has prophecy associated with it. This is one of the most important themes that we can understand. And in this series that I'm going to give on the Psalms, the emphasis is going to be upon prophecy, prophecy for our end times today. The Book of Psalms actually has as much prophecy in it as you would find in the Book of Isaiah, as much prophecy as in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. And let's go to the New Testament, as much prophecy as you would find in the Book of Revelation. There are actually sections in the book of Revelation, also the book of Daniel, which absolutely depend upon the teachings that we find here in these book, in these psalms, in the book of Psalms. Many of the prophecies introducing Jesus Christ into the world to show his message to who he was, what he came to do, his redemptive process that he has for each of us to be saved into the very family of God. These things are introduced in many cases in the book of Psalms. The matter of his crucifixion is found in the book of Psalms. And it's all within a chronological framework. It's a framework which is based primarily upon the divine holy seasons that God gave to ancient Israel. And it's for us to know what those seasons were and to be able to appreciate them and the symbolic significance to each of the seasons that God has given. And there are seven in number. In actual fact, there are more than that when you include Purim, which comes at the very end of the calendar and is exemplified by the book of Esther in the Old Testament. And in actual fact, in this book of Psalms here, you will find that they are divided into five major divisions, and the five major divisions are exactly equal, according to the ancient Jews, and they are absolutely correct on this, to the five portions of the Torah, that is the law. The law that God gave to Moses back there in the wilderness, and each of the five divisions of that law are ramified here in the book of Psalms. We also find that they are in agreement with a series of books which were sung in the temple, in the women's section of the temple called the Megillot, and there were five sections there too. We find in the New Testament that when you come to New Testament law, you actually have five divisions there. You have the four Gospels and you have the book of Acts, all five of them together to give the divine teaching of New Testament law, shall we say, just as we find the first five books of the Bible give us the Old Testament law. The very fact that the book of Psalms was divided into five divisions was for a purpose. And the fact that the number 150 are given to us is also for a purpose. What it's up to us to find out at this end of the age is just exactly what God means by these various divisions and the chronological framework that we find them in. Once we understand these things, we will all of a sudden have scales taken off of our eyes, and out of our ears will go the plugs, because we'll be able to then begin to understand what God is going to do in the next few years in advance of us. This book of Psalms, in actual fact, is a prophecy. And the 150 of them that we find divided into five divisions, which I will give you in just a moment, are very important to understand if we're going to put together the whole chronological flesh, shall we say, upon the skeleton of the body that he has given us from the very beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. So the book of Psalms figures very prominently, first of all, in introducing Jesus into the world and about his crucifixion and things of that nature. And we find many, many things in there connected with him, but also relative to his second coming, to his second advent back to this earth. And once we begin to understand these various divisions and how they relate to temple services, liturgies in the temple at Jerusalem, and also how they related to the holy day seasons and all of that, and if we can comprehend what the holy day seasons were about in the first place, which we will be able to see as we go through these Psalms, you will find that we're going to have a tremendous amount of flesh, shall we say, to put on the skeleton of prophecy, which we can find in Daniel and in the book of Revelation. So we find, by looking at these Psalms here, much detailed information for us just on the horizon, things that are going to occur in Israel, in Jerusalem, and in the entirety of this world. And it is very important to us that we pay close attention to the book of Psalms as it relates to the prophetic themes that are just on the horizon for us. In actual fact, David, even in the book of Psalms, in one of the Psalms, in Psalm 71, in verse 17 and 18, he knew that when he was writing these Psalms, that they were not only for his generation, but for us today. He said in 71, verse 17, O God, you have taught me, that's David, from my youth, and hitherto have I declared your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. That means all generations to come. These prophecies here are intended to give us teaching for the future, and they are put in a particular order as a design to show us what will be happening here in a step-by-step manner. Now, as I said before, these psalms were designed to be sung in the temple at Jerusalem. And the psalms have a history to them. We find that David's first collection of psalms were only 72 in nature. And then as time went on, in the time of Isaiah and Hezekiah, other psalms were ordered and put into a proper arrangement. The final five divisions of the psalms, however, was put together by Ezra, the priest, in the 5th century before the birth of Christ. We find that when Jesus was here on earth and the temple was in existence, these psalms were being sung at a regular time, a regular schedule, around the holy day seasons of God, and that people could get messages, divine messages from God relative to the holy day prophetic themes that were being uttered at the time. Now, these psalms here, 150 altogether, they are arranged for a particular purpose. Let me give you the five books here of the psalms. The first psalm, called the Genesis book by the Jews because it equates with the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, is Psalm 1 to 41 inclusively. The second book, called the Exodus book, is Psalm 42 to 72. Those first 72 psalms, if you will look, in fact, let's do it right now before we go on. I want to show you the end of the second division of the psalms by going to the end of Psalm 72, and you will read a rather interesting statement here. It says, let's look at verse 18, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever." Now, this is David speaking. "And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." Now that's how the division ends, except for one verse, which I did not read, and that's the conclusion. Look what the last verse, verse 20 of Psalm 72, which is the end of the second book of the Psalms. Notice what it says. "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." Now, isn't that interesting? Right here in the middle of the Psalms, we find a division coming to an end, and it was the first division. I want you to notice that there were 72 psalms in the first two divisions, the first two books of the book of Psalms, 72. That is 3 times 24. You keep that in mind because it's going to be a very important point to bring up just a little bit later on this design. You will find that these psalms were put in order for a particular reason. And in fact, some of the psalms are actually repeated from one division to another. Do you know that Psalm 14 in the first book is exactly equal to Psalm 53 in the second book? There's not a word of difference between both of them. Now, why would you have it repeated? I've often been accused of being very repetitious, and normally I am, but that's how a teacher is. David was the same way. We find that in a particular context, Psalm 14 would fit. It would fit also a later time in another context. And he did not vary from it from a word. Most interesting. You will also find Psalm 70 agrees with Psalm 40, verses 13 through 17. And Psalm 60, verses 9 through 12, agrees with Psalm 108, 10 through 13. In other words, we have repetition here. But the repetitions are in a particular context to be able to give further information about what the teaching is all about that's being discussed. All right, now let's go on to the third division here. The third division is the Levitical book. It agrees with the third book of the Torah of Moses. That goes from Psalm 73 to Psalm 89 inclusively. And then finally the Numbers book, the book that agrees with the book of Numbers. That's Psalm 90 and to 106. Psalm 90 starts out as a psalm of Moses. It's the only psalm in the book of Psalms that is from Moses, a most important psalm to occur at the very beginning of that fourth division. Now, the fifth division and the last one is called the Deuteronomy division in relationship to the Torah, that is the Old Testament law. And it goes from Psalm 107 to Psalm 150. And that's it. Now, we have other psalms in the Bible. I'm going to talk about them in a few moments. But in this book of Psalms, we have 150. Now, the first two divisions goes up to 72, remember? And I said that's 3 times 24. Now, I'm going to show you here that there is a reason for that. When you go back to the book of Chronicles, which describes how the temple was finally arranged by under the auspices of Samuel and David. Now, remember that David himself was unable to build the temple because of the blood that was on his hands. But his son, Solomon, was able to build the temple. It took him 7 years to build it. And once he got it established, he then took the design that David and Samuel the prophet had given to him, and he put into order the various divisions of the temple, and also the personnel that would be in the temple. And amongst the personnel would be a group of priests and a group of Levites who would be performing certain liturgical works at various times of the year, particularly at the holy day seasons that the Israelites would be encountering. And what they would do at those times would be to read portions of the Old Testament, particularly the Law and the Prophets and the Book of Psalms. And they would read them in historical contexts. That is, context in which messages were being given by the liturgy that was there in the temple at the time. You see, that temple represented God's house on earth. It represented his divine palace. It was a replica of the Garden of Eden, which was back there in the first chapters of Genesis. It was also a replica of the tabernacle that was with the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. But when it was finally built there in Jerusalem, made out of stone and all of that, it was a very beautiful building. That is when, and only until that time, did we find psalms being given to be uttered or to be sung to instruments and all of that at particular times. And that is where the Book of Psalms comes in. That's why the first 72 psalms were the first that David and Samuel arrived at to give to Solomon. To have him establish once the temple was built. If we'll see, and as later I will show this, as we go into history, we come to the time of Hezekiah and Isaiah in the 8th century B.C., and also other psalms were added at that time, another division. And then another division was added in the time of Jeremiah near the Babylonian captivity, and the 5th division, the final division, was put into the Psalms by Ezra the priest, who, by the way, was the one who put together the Old Testament in the first place. And these Psalms here are intimately connected with the liturgy of the temple, which represented God's divine palace. Remember, too, that God does have a palace in heaven. God has a home in heaven. And the Holy of Holies in the temple represented his divine throne. The holy place just outside of the Holy of Holies and just to the east of it, where you have the altar of the golden incense, where the priest could go, represented a portion of God's house in heaven. And then when you come outside, you come to the table of the Lord, which is the altar of burnt offering, and that represented God's divine table where he would eat in heaven. What would happen there at that particular section of the temple in Jerusalem represented something that was happening in heaven, you see. And then the court of Israel would come along outside of the court of the priest, and that's where all of the psalms were sung. They were not sung inside the priestly section, but on the outside, where not only God could hear, not only the priest could hear, not only the Levites, mainly who were the singers and the players of instruments, could hear, but all Israel could hear. And David was the one who was not a Levite, remember. He was of the son of Judah. He was the one who arranged the Psalms under the auspices of the prophet Samuel to be able to give a type of a musical, operatic message to the Israelites who would assemble for Passover services, who would assemble on the Sabbath, who would assemble at Pentecost, who would come there at various times, tabernacles and so forth. And these psalms, when they were sung, would re-emphasize the teachings of the messages of the holy days that were being discussed at that particular time. So we find here that these psalms are intimately connected with God's home, his palace. And he has concerts at his palace. And his concerts are these psalms. And some of the psalms are very merry. Some of them are very instructive. Others are rather sad, and many of them, some of them in particular sections, talk of destruction, whereas in other sections they are very happy, joyful, and triumphant. The last five psalms are completely psalms of triumph and victory, and how that mankind, through Israel and through God's Messiah, will triumph into a victorious union with God in his heavenly palace. And these psalms here then are what you might say, operatic themes which are performed in God's palace and they have a message to them that God wants all of us to understand within a chronological framework, you see. So these psalms are prophetic. So what we have to look at is the fact that the first 72 psalms were those that were arranged by Samuel and David. There were not 150 at first. And then later on, other sections were added, until finally Ezra the priest added the fifth, 107 to 150, in about the 5th century B.C. And by that time, then the psalms were complete, and they were to be sung by particular people ordained for that purpose in the temple. Now let's look at that for a moment and see how David, under the orders of Samuel, put all of this into operation. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 25, and you will see that here we find David giving instructions on how these things were to be arranged in the Holy Temple once it was to be built. And the Psalms figure in very, very prominently on this. And remember that David's first collection of Psalms were 72. That means 3 times 24. I'll come to why that's important in just a moment. But here we find in the 25th chapter of the book of Chronicles, it's the 24th chapter of the book of Chronicles is where we find the order of the 24 priests. There were actually 24 of them. Now, in the New Testament, John the Baptist's father, who was Zacharias, was of the 8th order of these priests, even in the time of Jesus. And you will find that 8th order was that of Abijah. And you will find it right here in the 1 Chronicles, chapter 24, that the 8th one is Abijah. So you see that Zacharias was performing something in the temple according to the order that David and Samuel had given to be able to bring a message to the people. What they would do is that these priests, the 24, that they would work 1 week from Sabbath to Sabbath, and then the second division would take over Sabbath to Sabbath, and then the third division would take over Sabbath to Sabbath, and then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth, all the way to the 24th. If, however, though, right at the beginning of the year, the springtime, in the second week or the third week, you would find Passover, then all of the 24 priests would come together, and they would rescind the weekly deal, and all of them would come together for that 1 week. And then it would carry on that the next division would go for 1 week, and then 1 week, and 1 week, and then finally they would come to Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is only a one-day festival, but because it called for the males to come to Jerusalem at that time, all of them, it was an opportunity for teaching purposes, and so the weekly cycle was again rescinded, and all 24 of the priests would then be there at Jerusalem, and they would teach the people for 1 whole week. And then after that week was over, they would resume the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th. Then they would go all the way to the 24th week. Now, 24 weeks, you see, is about half a year. Now, what they would do then is, at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, which would be the civil year, the Day of Trumpets, they would begin the process all over again. And the first order of the priest, and you will see them here, would be there to work in the temple, to do all of the daily offerings and things of that nature. And then when the Day of Atonement would come along, well, we'd find the priest there doing that. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, when everyone would come together, they would rescind the weekly occurrences, and all 24 would be there. As soon as the Festival of Tabernacles was over, however, they would go back to the weekly deal, Sabbath noon to Sabbath noon, and they'd go all the way through 24 of them until they'd reached to the end. But, you know, 24 and 24 makes 48. That's not quite a year, is it? Well, you see, however, in the biblical calendar, it is not exactly in agreement with the solar calendar. And in actual fact, we know that 48 weeks is fine, but, you know, there are 3 of the weeks is that they came together are for the 3 festival seasons, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So you put those in there, then you get the whole of the 52 weeks, you see. What it means is that you then find that the priest would, in 1 year's time, do 2 administrations in the temple, each of them separated by a six-month period. Now, this is the way that the priests would do it. They would go 24, 24, then they would start over and go 24 again. I want you to notice that the first collection of psalms that David had was 72, and that would go for a year and a half. Later on, when Ezra put together the whole psalms, what he did was to go from that year and a half, added another year and a half, making 144 psalms, and then to get up the extra weeks, to bring it up to the number of years, you know, weeks in a year, he added six other psalms, making 150 altogether. And so what you had is a three-year period in which the psalms would be read by these, within this priestly environment here. Now, this chapter 24 deals with the priests, but it's chapter 25, the next chapter here in 1 Chronicles, that deals with the singers who are going to perform these psalms. And there are three divisions of those singers. They were picked out as individuals that had talent. God gave them talent, not only to perform musical composition, by music, that is, by instruments, but also by singing. And they knew the notation, which we do not have at the present time. And over a three-year period, these 150 psalms would be sung in a particular order. Three-year period. Two three-year periods make 6 years. In the seventh year, which is a sabbatical year, they then read the psalms in 1 year. 1 year, rather than three-year period. Now, this is pretty well known, but once you get that formula in mind, and one of these lectures I'm going to show it what it's all about so that you can get the prophetic themes, you're going to see prophecy coming alive. This concludes the A part of this lecture, the Psalms in Prophecy. Please turn over the cassette tape at this juncture.